That's the sound of Jake Johansson trying already, as you just told me. Episode number 544, No Laugh Track Podcast, here at Acme Comedy Company in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I am Justin Severson, sitting in a chair on the stage right across from Jake Johansson. Almost a year exactly, the last time we did this,
Jake. I know. I look at my signature on the thing in the box of boxes backstage where you sign that you're here for the week. And it's right next to where I signed for last week. But then the person before me skipped a box. So I don't know if it is the same. It's confusing.
Who's skipping a box? That person's not getting booked again.
I don't know. Well, we can go back there and check. It may be because the person before them failed to sign. And so they skipped a box so that they can pick it up the next time. I don't know. I don't know how everything works. And then I did notice that naughty New Year's Eve person from a couple years ago took up all the remaining boxes of the year. And that felt like a real infraction. But
do you feel like you should get possessive on those boxes?
Empty
boxes?
Well, I'm so glad that you're listening to the podcast, and I'm so sorry that I went right with something that you could probably care less about off the bat. So apologies. Let's try and keep this interesting. All right.
This time we'll try to keep
this time. This time it's going to be interesting.
So I went back, as I always do. I listened back to what we did last time, and I had a little trouble searching for the one that we had last year. There was a little error in posting it on the audio. So when I went into my Spotify account and searched under No Laugh Track and searched Jake, the most recent one is from 2 years ago. Here, check this out. But just because there wasn't a space left between the number and your name, it wouldn't come up like that.
Oh, clerical
and
error.
It threw me off. I was like, there's no way I didn't talk to Jake last year. What happened? So I searched and found it. And
it's hard to believe that we're going to put the AI in charge of everything when it can't tell the difference between a number and a name or a number and a name without a space in between.
Yeah.
When that throws it off. It's problematic.
I'll search something on, like on eBay or something and misspell it or get a word wrong, and then it will search what, it does a good job. Like, it searches what it'll translate what I'm looking for, basically. It knows.
Yeah. Well, where they're out there making some money off of it. Anyway, I don't know. I feel like every time the TSA guy asks me to do something or acts like, who the hell do I think I am? Because this time I put the toothpaste in a bag, but he really wants it out of the bag, or you got to get your iPad out and put it in a thing. That's how it works everywhere, but it's not how it works everywhere. And I just feel like, okay, look, whatever story you're telling yourself about the end of the day about how you're saving the world from terrorism, I'm skeptical. Don't get me wrong. I'd rather have those guys there than not have them there. But if they can't figure out that I'm not the guy. Look, it's me, my name. I'm flying to Minneapolis for a show at a comedy club. I've been doing this for 40-some years. So the odds are you could probably just verify that it's me and then wave me through. I'm not the guy. But they can't seem to get past I might be the guy. So it makes me skeptical that they're actually going to catch the guy when they're wasting their time on me and all the other comedians flying around.
Remember during COVID when we're all locked in our homes, and then we were honoring all the heroes, like nurses and first responders, right? They were our heroes. As you're saying this, I'm like, TSA workers, which are supposedly keeping us safe every day, are they ever referred to as heroes?
Well, I'm sure that they are in that sense. By that definition, of course they're heroes. But this is the other question I've got for the people who are giving our heroes a round of applause. How much are our heroes getting paid? Because I feel like our heroes are getting really underpaid, and then we're paying some dodgy celebrity sports figure people whose behavior is questionable as an understatement. We're really paying them. And I get it. I'm in a job where I get paid based on, how many people want to buy a ticket to the thing.
Sure.
But sort of teachers, it's because that's everybody's buying a ticket to the thing, but they're not getting paid, right?
Yeah. I think that sometimes, like, when I see, a place that's, like, now hiring $15 to $16 an hour, and it's not like a fast food. It's, like, stocking overnight at, like, at a grocery store or something. Now, starting wage, $15 to $16. Like, I don't trust anybody You could so easily walk away from a job that pays so little. Like, how do we trust them doing anything?
The other thing is, like, how come these young people don't respect the job that they could get fired from their job? It's because they can go get another job that's that good at any time, you know, for that much money an hour. Like, you're lucky they even show up.
Yeah, one of my first world bitches these days is that, you know, how poor the help is at a fast food restaurant, at a gas station. People are just, you know, the young people are so just like nonchalant, not a lot of respect, just kind mm-hmm. of a lot of times, you know, come on in. A lot of times staring at their phones when they're supposed to be helping you.
Yeah.
And then you walk away, we're like, well, yeah, I get, you know what? They're making next to nothing. Why would they care? Why would they care?
Well, yeah. And it's a real question, though. How am I supposed to behave? Like, I'm the customer. So I'm here paying money. I'm paying money to be here to buy gas or get a sandwich or, as we were talking about before the show, a delicious chocolate shake.
Yes.
And you can't be bothered to make eye contact with me or say thank you or any of those formalities. So then why am I? I'm the one who's paying money. So can I stop being nice to you too? I mean, is this just going to be a total breakdown?
Yes.
Where I just walk in and go, give me the gas. I want some gas. Why can't I get my gas? Why you're supposed to give me the gas? What's wrong with you? You know, look how fat you are, gas person. You can't fat shame the gas person. No, that was wrong. I knew that when I said, as soon as I said fat, I was like, oh, that's wrong. People are allowed to be whatever size they want to be. I have to let me just apologize right now. I was just trying to pick out a thing that I could say something mean about somebody. That was the wrong example.
We're 7 minutes in and you've apologized twice.
Well, believe me, I don't know what the record is, but I'd like to see if I had it. I'd like to take a shot at it.
We're well on our way.
What mean things are you even allowed to say to someone? They're doing mean things to you, and then you, like, what mean things can I say back to them? Like, you don't seem to be in a very big hurry to get me my lunch.
My wife told me that when somebody does something like that, what you should say to them, just go look at them and go, are you okay?
Yeah, I've heard that one. Social media is all full of that one. When someone does some douchey thing, you just go, are you okay?
Is that where she got that?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think she made it up. If that's if you think you might have a genius on your hands at home, you might. But
I've been telling everybody she invented it.
Yeah, you might have a genius at home, but I think she got that off the internet.
It's
social media.
Probably.
Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay?
I do find that I now say that when I'm in my car and someone upsets me. I'm saying it. They can't hear me. My windows are up. They're long gone. But when somebody does something on the road that upsets me, I'll go, are you okay? And it does make me feel a little better.
I feel like if we were to go back to some kind of medieval Game of Thrones type world where it's just like you can just cut someone in half if they make you mad. I'm not saying I wouldn't get cut in half, but I don't think I would be cut in half for some kind of politeness infraction.
It'd be well earned, you're saying?
I would know why I was getting cut in half, as opposed to a lot of these people now who are doing things that, like, that shit could get you cut in half back in the day.
Or
these people who think everybody should have a gun and that we're all going to live, man, there are a lot of people who are not behaving as if the other person has any ability to harm
do
them
something
or
about
straighten
it.
Them out. But yeah. I don't want to be in a punchy cutting in half world. I mean, this is the whole thing. When you're driving now, people are doing so many crazy maneuvers while they're driving, but you can't follow them and try and explain to them what they did wrong because they might shoot you.
I wish there was a world where you could.
Shoot people?
No, where you could pull them over and be like, this is what you did wrong, and not have any consequences. But you just triggered something about a story I saw earlier today about bullying.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
And what to do about it. And this ties in something that I know that you like. All right? Sadie Cliff, a fifth grader, said a boy one grade above her slapped her hard across the face a few weeks ago in Sacramento in band class because he was upset over the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl victory, and Cliff's shirt featured Chiefs star Travis Kelce, who was dating Swift. Okay?
Hmm.
So a little bullying here because this 10-year-old
Wait, he
girl.
Slapped her because she was wearing a Travis Kelce jersey or a Taylor Swift shirt?
A Taylor Swift shirt that had Travis Kelce on it as well.
Wow.
He was taking it out on me because I love Taylor Swift, Sadie said in an interview. Her mother said she was shocked it happened at an elementary school and focused on getting supportive messages to boost her daughter's spirits. That's when a jiu-jitsu instructor reached out to teach her to defend herself. Our bully-proof program is not about fighting violence with violence. You could look at it more as fighting with fighting fire with fire, where we neutralize the threat.
Well, look, I'm
your thoughts, Mr. Jiu-Jitsu.
I'm a jiu-jitsu practitioner now at this point, and so I can tell you that I think it's great. I think jiu-jitsu is great and can be helpful to all kids with their self-esteem, their respect, and their ability to defend themselves, but. When someone just takes a swing and punches you, I feel like this is a job for Anita the Nuts. This is not, we don't have to, you don't need a class. We're talking about a young kid who doesn't understand how things work. You hit me, I kick you in the nuts hard.
How do you fight that instinct to not kick the nuts hard?
And then
after
you know what
hit?
Happens? Then grown-ups get involved. And then you get to tell your story. And then maybe you have to apologize, but I feel like you punched me, I kicked you in the nuts, do you want to do it again? The answer is always going to be no. And so mission accomplished. That's some old school parenting, and I'm sorry.
Was there a bullying incident that got you into jiu-jitsu?
No.
No.
No. I thought I was too old to do it, but because I started when I was 57, and it was it's been a great positive thing in my life. I really enjoy it. I feel like I've met some amazing people. Yeah. I've acquired some skills. As I tell everyone,
I have a set of skills.
You only need to take one jiu-jitsu class to realize you should not be fighting anyone, because even people who are first of all, everyone's better at fighting than you. If you don't have any martial arts training, you know, jiu-jitsu, kung fu, karate, boxing, everyone's better at fighting than you. You should just assume that.
Sure.
But even if you're better at fighting than most people, which just by statistics, I would say, you know, by the things I know, I'm probably randomly, I understand more stuff than a lot of people.
Sure.
Somebody can hit you in the head with a bottle or a chair or take you by surprise, the knee in the nuts. That works on all people who have nuts. And so don't fight anyone. That's the most valuable lesson. But that was already in this story.
Yeah.
In this story, that was already broken by this douche who punched sweet Sadie.
You remembered her name.
Yeah.
Well done, sir.
It happens to be the same as my friend's daughter's name. But yeah. I just, and that Taylor Swift, that sweet Taylor Swift.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. America's treasure.
So rich.
Let's keep her safe at all costs.
Let's keep her safe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's keep her safe.
Keep her safe. So we need to talk about last night. Last night was great. You on
stage. Oh, you
stage.
Were here. That's right. You were here.
I was here. We spoke briefly after the show.
Yes. I remember that now. Yeah, I had a good time. I had a good time. It was a fun show to kick the week off. I'm excited about my new ideas and concepts, things that I want to share with the people who show up, my little stories and anecdotes about my life. And
your little skits?
And my tidbits. My tidbits and takeaways.
Tidbits and takeaways.
I feel like the attendees last night left satisfied.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There were a few. We took some selfies. People acquired some souvenirs.
Yes.
Yeah. Still trying to get rid of those CDs. Man, I got comedy CDs. I didn't see it coming. I don't know if you saw it coming, but I didn't realize that we were just... the pandemic is what really killed me, because I knew, I saw the writing on the wall, it's a race to get rid of these CDs. But then the pandemic happened, and I feel like what a lot of people did during the pandemic is fill up boxes of things that they didn't want to have anymore. And inside almost everyone's box of things was their CD player.
There are so many at Goodwill right now.
Are there?
Yes.
I need to go to Goodwill, because if I can get those cheap enough, it'll make sense for me to buy the CD players to sell along with the CDs after the show.
No, I don't. Do you remember when we were talking last year and I know you were joking, but you said that you had all these ties left over.
Neckties.
And maybe it was time to get those on the merch table.
Yeah.
To get rid of them. So, yeah.
I had forgotten that I said that, but I haven't taken that action yet.
No, they're still
in the closet.
I'll
tell you what I brought along this trip, and this is a little, if you come up to me after the show, while supplies last, because I think I have 3 or 4 Homer hankies. Do you remember Homer hankies?
Well, of course I do, yes.
It's from the 80s, and then one of them was from the 90s. So the twins, I just used to love it when they would say his name, Kirby Puckett!
Nice.
Back in those days.
Yeah.
Number 34.
And I had, I don't know why does one set aside those Homer hankies in a box? So I found them. And you know what they were with? They were right adjacent to my old Cub Scout triangle neckerchiefs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't bring the Cub Scout neckerchiefs, but I did bring the Homer hankies just in case. Because I thought, look, I don't need these in my life. But if I take them to Goodwill in L.A., what's going to happen? They're going to get shipped to some textile recycling facility, but there might be someone here in Minneapolis who wants a Homer hanky. And I forgot, they're stuffed in the bag with the CDs. So if you come to the show and you want a Homer hanky, please step right up and make your request.
Well, not in a million years did I think I was going to hear you talk about Homer hankies today.
Yeah. So I didn't bring any neckties, but I got a few Homer hankies.
Yeah,
I'm at the point in my career now where I'm just trying to get rid of shit that's in my house. That's the whole reason I'm still
going on
the road.
Here's a tape dispenser that hasn't any tape in it in 10 years.
It still works great. Look, you can get your own tape. Do I have to do everything for you?
I'll send you a link to Amazon where you can buy tape for this thing.
Oh, boy.
Oh, perfect, boy. Perfect. Look, you were kind of looking at your notes last night on your phone, right? Is that...
Yeah, well, this is what I'm telling everyone. I'm semi-retired, so I'm working less. I'm on the road a little bit less, doing these longer shows. So I'm in town developing, working on material more than I used to.
Okay.
And so then when I come out on the road, my brain. If I try and just remember everything, I'll be able to do a show and you'll enjoy it. But there'll be a lot of things that you don't get to hear because I just forgot to say them. And so the way that I get the most new things in is if I have the notes written down. And I did notice that last night, I'm going to go through my little note sheet and take out some of the things that last night I skipped over. Because some of them are just, they're not really jokes yet. They're just dark observations.
A start of a joke. I gotcha. Yeah, sure. You said before we started recording you wanted to dedicate this to O.J. Simpson because he passed away today. Was I supposed to say that publicly or no?
No, I don't think so. I was watching TV in my room, hotel room.
Yeah.
We cut the cord, so we're only subscribing to streaming services now, so we don't have a YouTube Live, so we don't ever get to watch CNN or any.
Oh, so this is a treat for you when you're on the road.
Yeah, so I'm in the hotel. I switch back and forth between CNN and Fox News and MSNBC to see just how crazy they're all going. Yeah. And the first one this morning when I got up, I'm just bouncing around. And Fox News was the first one to be talking about OJ. And I thought it was funny because they were just really reverently talking about what an amazing athletic career he had and how great it was that he also did movies and
former Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah. Did you guys forget that? I mean, or is it some kind of right wing talking point that OJ is not guilty? I mean, what happened?
We don't know where he's been the last 25 years.
It's a shame what happened to that poor OJ. that was the subtext of the Fox. The Fox News OJ obituary package. And I thought, well, you guys, I don't think that this shouldn't be a political thing. I think I'm pretty sure that universally we all feel like OJ a little bit naughty.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I want to point something out to you. I don't remember. Well, I'm not asking you to do the joke, but at one point you used the words white supremacy or supremacist last night on stage.
Yeah.
Yes. As soon as you said that, I was sitting over here and I zeroed in on, I don't know how many were, but one of the black guys that was in the audience last night, I wanted to see what his reaction was when you said white supremacist, and he was laughing as hard as anybody.
Well, because I'm making fun of white supremacy is just such a ridiculous
I know it is.
Idea. I mean, to me.
It is.
And I'm a white guy. But I just feel like, come on.
The only reason I say it is because, you know, certain words, I knew it wouldn't, but certain words like trigger people where, you know, you hear something, you're like, oh, what's coming next?
Yeah,
and he immediately was laughing.
I feel like, look, it's okay to make fun of white supremacy because, I mean, or to bring, I think you can bring it. Nobody's going to come up and go, white supremacy. It's great, isn't it?
We're meeting after the show.
It's the dumbest, like, what are you, I mean, is this going to be a pro-country music thing that you're going to say? What, like, what is it that we, how are we supreme? I mean, I get it. Look, as I said last night, we had a good run, white people.
Yes.
But, I don't even like our music.
Toby Keith passed away recently, too.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine the Toby Keith OJ? I hope that they're just, oh, man.
I wonder
if
how
the AI
Fox
is real. It's making a little video about Toby Keith and OJ in heaven.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm curious how Fox covered that one.
Johnny Cochran died years ago. What were the other attorneys that OJ had? Shapiro.
The Kardashian.
Yeah. Chris Darden, I think. He was the prosecutor. And Marcia Clark. They're still alive.
Judge Ito.
I don't know about Judge Ito.
Speaking of, so there are, someone is selling, Judge Ito. I'm gonna explain my train of thought here. Judge Ito, in my head, connects to Jay Leno, The Tonight Show, because he would make fun of him quite a bit. Remember Dancing Itos and all that back in the 90s, right?
All right, yeah.
If you go on eBay right now and search Jake Johansson, there is someone selling screenshots of you from an appearance on Jay Leno's Tonight Show. Have you seen this?
No.
There are at least three different ones. Someone's trying to sell for about $6 a piece plus shipping out of
China?
It's probably
China.
New Zealand?
China.
Australia? I should know the difference. One of those places?
Well, my wife is from New Zealand, but
is it a brother-in-law maybe selling these?
It's a screenshot?
Yes.
Of me on television?
Yes, sir.
And why does Judge Ito come into play on that?
No, because in my brain it connects to Jay Leno, and in these pictures you're with Jay Leno.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Okay.
That's the tie-in.
Wow.
I'm bringing it up right now. But
well, it would be
in one of the shots, he looks like Jay is like maybe tickling you or adjusting something on your shirt or something. Does it sound familiar?
I don't remember Jay ever tickling me, but it could have happened.
Oh,
I mean,
it is right there. There it is right there.
It's funny. Oh,
take a look, Jake. Do you remember that at all? Is that you?
That is me. And
he's taking a look. Do you want me to put a bid in and get it here by Saturday?
I'm just trying to
Saturday?
See. I think I still might have that tie. If you buy that old television photo and you'd also like the necktie I was wearing, I can make a deal for you on that. Yeah, Australia, $8.50 Australia plus $5 shipping. or best offer. Oh my God. Well, they spelled my name right, so that's that's a big
plus.
It's
findable, yeah.
That's a big plus.
Uh-huh. I assume you still have that the room you would broadcast out of, your daily updates with all the mess of stuff around you.
Some of the items have shifted or changed, but yes.
Because I could see this in that room behind you. I mean, in
that photo?
Yeah.
Well, there's not, I feel like that room is, there's some things that are me-oriented, but there's a lot of things that are just things that I have.
Sure.
I don't think I wanted it. I was never the guy who took a photo, like, hey, can I take a picture of you, famous person who I just met for 2 minutes? And I always thought that, because I felt like it's a little bit of a, like, be in the moment, just be here with these legends.
Yeah.
Don't get, but then you go to someone's house who's got their picture with all the famous people they were with, and you're like, man, I could have had a room like this of me with all these famous people. But the only people who are impressed by that are people who've never been in a room with famous. It just is a weird, like, I didn't. So I don't have a lot of that stuff, and I'm not. Like, that doesn't... I feel like I know where Jay Leno is most Sunday nights, and I could just go down there and see him if I wanted to.
Could you do me a favor? And, like, you know how people, like, 20 years later, recreated. Could you get Jay together, like, on a couch, and maybe you guys can recreate that?
He might be agreeable to that if I showed him that picture.
What if he's the one selling them?
I would. That would be surprising.
Gas money.
Yeah. Well, he does have a lot of cars.
I'm saying.
He does have a lot of vehicles.
That's what I'm saying. So,
what are you driving nowadays?
A very high mileage Nissan Rogue, because I need to fit the whole family in and use it as a work vehicle occasionally.
Is that a minivan?
Yeah, it's the shape. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Does it have the automatic sliders on both sides?
No. We're talking base model. We're talking, if I go do the...
seat belts? Does it have seat belts?
8-track? It has automatic windows, thankfully. But, you know, like if I'll do like a pickup order somewhere, like at Target, I'll go do my, you know, my drive-up order. And I want...
Is this you picking things up and delivering them for other people, or this is you
this
picking
up... This
is
me up? Ordering ahead and then pulling up and letting them know which spot I'm in.
Give me an example of a pickup order you might have at Target.
Well, last night, 4 bags of tortilla chips.
you called ahead for that?
Along with 6 other things.
I don't need to go in there and walk around, find the tortilla chips. Just bring them out front.
They encourage you so much to not, I feel like, you know, they push it on you. Like, buy it all, we'll bring it out to you. Don't worry about it.
I just bought butane camp stove fuel from Home Depot. They delivered it right to my house.
Oh,
that's a good story, right? Oh. If you're still listening, there's your gold.
Yeah, there you go. The I was going to say that when I have somebody bring stuff out to my vehicle, there's no button where I can hit it from the inside. There's no button on
open the back.
Yeah, no, it's.
Do they get upset when you get out?
You have to reach around and find where the thing is.
If you go to the...
Which makes me feel very poor.
The hazardous waste disposal. I was going to say toxic, but it's hazardous. Like if you got some old cans of paint and some bug spray or something that you're trying to get rid of in California, and you take it to the place, they don't want you to get out. They want you to open the trunk and get the box. They don't want you to get out.
Sure.
And be around the other hazardous thing that the last person just dropped off. So you would freak them out if you were there and you were like, look, I got to open the back. There's not a way.
We're just going to be staring at each other. You're not going to know how to do that.
Yeah, there's not a way around this.
So what is the status of this podcast I saw you were doing and listened to with Jeff Cesario?
Well,
is it still happening? I haven't seen a new one for over a month now.
It is happening. Well, this is a good question. And I feel like when Jeff... I think I suggested the title. I can't remember how this all got started, but then Jeff said, oh, that thing we talked about, the strip mall think tank, I want to do that. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I thought, this is going to be a thing where I'm going to have to help Jeff. I'm going to have to post it on my feed and all this other stuff. But he goes, I have a podcast feed. I can just post it on that. I was like, okay. So I don't have to do anything. He just texts me, do you want to do another episode? I got Brian Regan. We did one with Brian Regan. But then I really indulged in that. I tried to book a guest one time, and it was such a pain in my neck, and the person who I thought was going to be so easy to book had just written a book, and so I had to go through her podcast helper, and it was like, so I just leave it up to Jeff. So sometimes a couple weeks, like he texted me, do you want to do another episode this week? And I said, well, I can't. On Tuesday, because I'm flying to Minneapolis, and then they were like, well, what about Thursday? And I said, well, I can if there's no press for the club, but then it's him and this producer he's got, and the producer was not available this Thursday. So I think we've got one scheduled for next Tuesday or Thursday that we're going to record one and post one. So it's ongoing, but I mean, I feel like I would say that I'm the one who's the least active on this, but we're all very relaxed about how the regularity of releasing of episodes. And to be honest, I'm not even sure. I think we're just having fun. So
they have been released to the public, just so you know.
They've been released.
They were just clowning around with Jeff.
People are cutting them into clips. I don't know if they're clipping them or something. And then Jeff was like, oh, you can release them to your many followers. And I was like, have you looked at my, I have followers, but there's not many I don't have many followers. I have maybe more than some lady, but I have less followers than most people who are trying to have a lot of followers.
Okay.
How many followers does this podcast have on the Instagram?
I don't think it has it. We just use Acme's Instagram, and that has like, what, 6,000 something?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I have more than that.
You have more than that? Yeah.
But they're spread out all over the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Earth, mostly.
I listened to some of those episodes, so I think that's how I know that your daughter is going to school in Ireland? Is that
in correct? Ireland, yes. She's going to college at Trinity College in Dublin, Ireland. Famous college, 1592.
That's how much it cost?
That's when it was established. It's great. She loves it. She's older for a freshman, I guess, 19. But in Ireland, that's, you can drink in the bars. So immediately when she gets there. So it's you don't have to go to some college party where they bought some terrible booze and poured it all into the same bowl and you don't know what you're drinking and you have to drink that or nothing. She can go to a bar and get Guinness right out of the factory Guinness hose, and it's delicious. And so so she's enjoying that. She's
that's
enjoying
why she
her
chose
grown-up
it?
Lifestyle. No, that's not why she chose okay. it. I think she chose it because she thought it was cool and different, and it's a prestigious school.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Well, look it up.
No, I mean, like, it's so far from anything I could even comprehend. I went to college in Duluth, which is, you know, I chose it because it was far and not too far. Close, not too close.
Well, here's the thing, though. California, it's difficult to get into the California's university system. I mean, if you're willing to go to whatever the California... UC Merced, everybody can get into UC Merced. But otherwise, it's hard to get into the California schools, and they're cheaper for California residents. But if you get into Berkeley, for example, now you got to get an apartment in Berkeley.
Yeah.
Which all at once, now you're spending a lot.
Yeah.
And so it turns out she doesn't want to come home a lot, so the price of the airplane tickets, that's sort of a wash. She came home at Christmas. She's going to come home for the summer. I think when she goes back in the fall, who knows if she's coming back again. I don't know.
How many trips have you and Mom made over there?
We went over when we dropped her off, and we flew there, and it's you know, you're flying overnight. So we get to the hotel at noon or 1 in the afternoon. Just struggle to kind of stay awake and then sleep and then wake up the next day sort of jet lagged.
Sure.
Woke up the next day, went to IKEA, got some stuff for her dorm room, took it to her dorm room. As soon as we made her bed, she was like, okay, you guys can leave. And then we were on vacation in Dublin for a while.
You don't want to see Mom and Dad?
She was ready for us to go, and which is good. That's what you want. You want her to, I mean, I would like, I don't mind effing off, but I would also like, you know, her to get a job, because I'm tired of paying for everything. I'm tired of it. I don't mind paying for your college, but then she's got a credit card. So I can see, like I could go online and see how many beers, I could see what she's spending on beer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, because they don't have a food plan either, so she's making her own food, so I can see her grocery bill and her food bill, and I'm trying not to micromanage it, but we did agree on sort of an amount.
Yeah, that's interesting. I experienced that with my oldest daughter, who's a senior in high school, and I get to see what she spends at the school cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, just a bag of chips and soda, huh?
That's your lunch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm paying for? Okay, great. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't they offer anything a little better?
What? Eating disorder. Google it. I think she might have an eating disorder.
Maybe. She has a spending dad's money on wasteful stuff problem, I think.
Well, if all she's eating every day is a soda and a bag of chips, she's not going to blow you out of into the poorhouse.
That's true.
On that.
That's
so true. At least you got
You don't know how much money I have.
Good point.
You don't know how much money I don't have.
Yeah. How many years have you been doing this podcast? It's like, and what does this pay? We were talking about what you get paid at these other jobs. What is this? You're so nice for a guy who's making, you're probably making less than $17 an hour to do this.
Why is he trying so hard?
Yeah.
Why does
it's
he care?
It's a generational thing. Our generation, well, you're not my generation, but as older gentlemen or gentlemen of a certain age,
yeah,
or parents or whatever, we're from the try hard generation.
Work hard, play hard. Yes. Yes. I've brought this up on this podcast before, that whole saying, work smarter, not harder, did not exist when I was growing up. I wish it was, because then it would have, like, maybe a shortcut to get where you want. But instead, I'm all about, hard work is get you where it is, but that's not always the case.
There are no shortcuts to the top.
Sure.
You got to climb it. You got to climb that mountain.
I did it right.
I'm assuming we're at the top right now.
I think so. I'm looking, and I think we made it. Is there anything else we should be covering here today, Jake? Before we
well,
I cut you loose?
You can subscribe to my. Please go on social media and follow me. I'd always like to have more followers, and I'll really try not to upset you. That's what I mostly am trying to do now on Instagram, is post things that are funny, but also then not upset to. It's so, like, you can't let the social media platform know that you're actually trying to get people to come to a comedy show, because then they want you to pay to advertise to people. And it's like, well, I'm already making little clips of me just doing comedy, which normally you'd have to pay to come and see at Acme. But I'm putting those out there to try and get people to see that, hey, I'm still doing this and you can still come and see me. But keep it on the down low and don't tell Facebook and Instagram, because if they find out, then I'm stuck having to pay. And I'm semi-retired, as I mentioned, so I'm not making the amount of money where I can just pay all the money I'm making to get people to come to see me, to pay for a ticket to come and see me. It's a vicious cycle. So anyway, what was the question? I don't know if I have anything else to plug. Please follow me, message me. Listen to this podcast that Jeff Cesario and I are doing, the Strip Mall Think Tank, if you can find it. It's on wherever you listen to podcasts. It comes out irregularly, so you don't have to worry that you missed one. You just, every once in a while, you check, and if there's one there, then that's great. It's like when you go by the mailbox, even though you checked a while ago, just check again.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That's a perfect analogy. And I can vouch for it's a great show. Like I said, I was here last night. Andy Duong, who won the 2022 Funniest Person here at Acme, is the MC this week.
Yes.
He's great. Robert Burrill, who I hadn't seen in it seemed like forever, who's a real regular here at Acme.
Andy and Robert, very
awesome
funny.
Set by Robert.
Yes. Yeah. This is a fun show.
Uh-huh.
The three of us, it's a good time.
Yeah.
If you're sitting at home now, and it's not too late, please come down and see these shows this weekend. If you want a Homer hanky, while supplies last, speak to me after the show.
There is no other place you're just going to be like, where can I find a Homer hanky in the next 24 hours? You're not going to be able to find that unless you go online or right here.
You know, I didn't even think to go online and see what they're worth.
Don't want to. They did not. They held their value of about $1 a piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're really soft. I mean, I thought about just using them as hankies.
Thanks, Jake.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening to No Laugh Track Podcast, the show with a new comedian headliner every single week with me, the host, Justin Severson. The show is produced in the heart of Minneapolis's North Loop neighborhood at the legendary Acme Comedy Club. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Podbean, and watch the video version on our official No Laugh Track YouTube channel. Wherever you are enjoying the pod, remember, drop a like, leave a review, and please tell your friends about the show. And most importantly, come to Acme and see my show in person.